And now, on with the show.
Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another installment of Weekend Watch, brought to you by the Three Guys One Up Podcast Network. I'm your host, Spencer, sitting here with another host, Keith.
Hello.
And our final host, David.
Hi.
I feel like there's a joke somewhere in you being the final host. Or maybe we're the hosts and you're like a parasite or something. I don't know. There's jokes there somewhere, probably. My mouth still hurts. Because on our other show, Three Guys One Up, we just did some really bad idea hot chip challenge. So I feel like we're probably all still suffering the effects of eating a chip that was over 2 million Scoville units. Spencer's how you guys feeling,
thing, baby?
How you feeling, David?
Bad.
Keith is feeling bad. Thank you. David likes to talk shit, even though we know he's probably feeling like shit too.
And I like that you made it sound like we.
In light of this, we decided, I don't know if this was why, probably not, we're doing another franchise breakdown this week, taking a little break from our traditional structure to do something a little different. We are finally up to phase 3 in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is a big long phase. It's like twice as long as the first two, so we're gonna split it into two parts. This week, we're going to talk Captain America Civil War through Black Panther. Next week, I think we're going to get into the conclusion of the Infinity Saga. So we'll go Infinity War through Spider-Man Far From Home. So let's get into it. Where do we go from here usually? My mind is not working from after this fucking chip. Let's talk about the first movie. Why don't we jump right in? So last we left off with Ant-Man, right? Ant-Man was the final movie in Phase 2.
It was.
We had the giant Ultron battle of Sokovia, which is a big part of Civil War. The fallout of the Battle of Sokovia, the destruction of an entire country by the Avengers, basically. So, fuck it, I'll jump in here. Marvel's Captain America Civil War. We find Steve Rogers leading this new version of the Avengers. But after another incident that the Avengers are involved in that causes a bunch of collateral damage in their hunt for Crossbones, right, David?
Yeah.
So Crossbones was one of the guys who...
Rumlow.
He betrayed Steve back in Winter Soldier, I think, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so they're hunting him down. He's still part of Hydra or whatever, and they cause a bunch of damage in another country. So world governments try to institute a series of checks on the Avengers and oversight system. Half the Avengers are for it, led by Tony, and the other half are against this oversight, thinking that it'll hamper them too much in doing the right thing. That's led by Captain America, Steve Rogers. A bunch of stuff happens. They fight each other. Yeah. I told you, man, my mind's not working anymore. Somebody else talk about this movie.
You were really detailed there at the beginning.
I did well there, yeah, and yeah. I just kind of trailed off. It just
kind of evaporated.
So,
I'm
going to
go ahead and say I think this is my least favorite out of the six that we have for today. And you
really?
And if you would have asked me before this rewatch, I probably would have had it near the top of my list, but... Man, something just like I was watching it with my wife, and it's like most of these problems could have been solved with like a very easy conversation between like a few folks. But Steve has taken like the far side over here, and Tony's the far side over here, and they just will not come to terms, and they keep making stupider and stupider decisions on top of that to make it so they can't come to terms. You know, I don't know how much of a spoiler this really is. When
this movie's been out for 5 years, so I think we're okay.
Yeah, when Tony's pretty much got him locked in to sign, and the one thing that does it is that like he's basically made what's her name, the Scarlet Witch, a prisoner. It's like, why did you have to do that? So you bench her. You say you're not like, and she doesn't want to go out on any more adventures after what happened at this last one. You bench her for a while, but to like lock her up and have Vision watch over, that's extreme. Everything about this is like too extreme. They start fighting for really, they didn't have to do much of this, you know? It just felt very over the top to me. And I get that it's a comic book movie and everything, but it just felt, a lot of it felt very forced to introduce a bunch of these new characters or a handful of new characters and show off their willingness to be loyal to one or the other. You know, it felt weird to me this time around.
It was a little, I understand where you're coming from. That being said, there was a lot going on, and this far into it, we've built up the backstories. Iron Man 3 was all about Tony's descent into, you know, trying to recover from PTSD and mental, you know, and anxiety and depression and, you know, trying to get over all of that from, you know, the effects of the first Avengers movie. And it just seems like he's still kind of stuck in that. And that's part of the reason. And then you have Steve's undying love for Bucky.
Yeah.
They're butting heads, you know, with all of this. And I don't know. I like it. I liked it a lot still. I think it's not quite as good as I remembered it, but it's still really good. It's still really good. I love this one a whole lot.
By no means am I saying, like, fuck Civil War, I don't like this movie anymore. I just found it to be kind of the weakest out of the group. And normally I'd probably say Black Panther, but Black Panther's been kind of growing on me for a while.
Understandable, yeah.
And Civil War just felt like kind of the weakest plot lines. That being said, though, like there are some just incredible aspects of this, even though like the fighting sometimes felt a little bit forced, like, oh, we need to put a fight scene in here. I'm glad they did, because every fight scene is fucking stupendous in this entire movie. I loved every bit of it. I love the intro of Spider-Man. I love everything about like the hero side of this, the interactions. I just felt like some of the plot was where it fell off for me.
The Spider-Man intro was the one that seemed weakest to me. Like, I still don't quite understand why Tony was like, hey, let's go get this kid to help us in Germany.
And then like is worried about him like the whole time. Like, oh yeah, you're a kid. Why did I bring you to fight superheroes?
Right. Whereas like it made a little more sense with bringing in Scott Lang, because he'd already been introduced to the Falcon. They already had the whole, oh yeah, Falcon's been asking around for it, you know, stuff like that. You know
he's
what I mean?
Loose with the law.
It made more sense. But I don't know. The Spider-Man intro seemed really weird. Like,
you're going to take a
minor across international lines?
It was an odd way of doing it. But again, it didn't take away from how much I love seeing Spider-Man on screen, doing Spider-Man things, and really showing off Tom Holland as a great Spider-Man. You know, his banter, like when he stops Bucky's punching, he's like, oh my God, you have a metal arm. And Bucky's like, you're stopping my punch right now. But it was
not usually this much talking.
Yeah. I love Spider-Man banter, and Tom Holland did not disappoint. So there were good aspects of it, but yeah, I agree with you that the intro was weak. What do you think about this movie, David?
I mean, I want to say that like scene where they're at the airport and they like line up and they do the whole face-off thing is so cliche is not the right word that I want to use. Tired's not the right word. It's just kind of like, of course you guys did this. I'm really failing to articulate and find the exact right word.
But and on top of that, like what I hate about that scene in particular is like a lot of the lead up in this movie is how the Avengers cause massive and expensive damage, and they just meet up at this airport in Germany and destroy fucking everything.
Like, you guys couldn't have just like found a field,
right?
Yeah. And so, like, I feel like this, especially the whole Avengers movie line, is this exercise in more, 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 which is sometimes it works really well and sometimes it doesn't. And I think that this is one of the times where it kind of doesn't work as well.
Fair enough. Let's talk about Helmut Zemo, because there's a big twist with Zemo's motivations in this movie.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it seems like he's trying at first, you know, there's the whole like, oh, well, he's trying to, you know, rekindle Hydra or, you know, get these other super soldiers that he's found out about to do his bidding. You know, he's the one who blew up the United Nations Sokovia Accord signing and killed King T'Chaka and blah, 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 you know. And then it becomes a very, like, human story all of a sudden, where it's he's literally doing whatever he can to avenge the deaths of his wife and child.
Yeah, he is
who died in Sokovia.
Yeah, he is the true avenger of this story, this particular story. And he, like, the most character development throughout this entire movie is our antagonist. It's interesting.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was one that I found to be weak the first time I saw it, but is really growing on me.
And I like that he's gone on to play a larger role in the Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I'm really glad they brought him back.
He's a stellar character, especially giving him this new story of his wife and his daughter in Sokovia and like this really deep character. It's a great turn.
Yeah, agreed.
Very cool. Anything else we want to talk about with Captain America Civil War?
Nah, I think we covered it. We
covered it. Let's move on. What are we going to talk about next? That is Doctor Strange. Somebody else do a synopsis off the top of your head. What's Doctor Strange about?
Doing it live. Doctor Strange is about a doctor named Stephen Strange. He is a giant asshole piece of shit who is very full of himself, very egotistical. Gets in a big fat car accident, fucks his hands up, and can't be a brain surgeon any longer. So he's trying to find a way to fix himself. He ends up in Kathmandu looking for Kamar-Taj, and he finds a whole lot more than the cure for his hands. And he finds out there's a lot more going on than our one insignificant universe as well. This is quite the trip that he takes, and it ends up with him learning how to become a sorcerer. How was that? Good enough?
I liked it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite out of the entire MCU. This whole phase has like all my favorites in it.
Yeah, it's definitely the best.
Doctor Strange. I love the comics. I love the character. I love the darkness around him. You get a great feel of that throughout this movie. And it still has the lightheartedness as well. And I love that it kept it fresh. I really like this character's banter. It is a little drier, and I like that a bit. I really dig the psychedelic trip that you kind of take throughout this film. It's a visual experience.
I was going to mention that, you know, kind of starting from when she knocks him, his astral projection out of his body, that whole visual sequence that is like a very heavy psychedelic trip. And then going forward, you know, all the shots of Dormammu and whatnot, it is visually fantastic.
Yeah, that's for sure. This is also our first introduction to the idea of a multiverse in the MCU, right?
Yeah, this is, and it's, once it comes up, it's immediate confirmation of said multiverse. It's not even like, oh, hey, there's a multiverse out there. No, we're diving feet first into what that actually means.
Right, the multiverse exists, that you can fracture time, there are time loops, themes that really get heavily explored towards the end of this phase and the beginning of phase four. It's pretty cool. Yeah, this one is another movie. I didn't hate it or anything. It just was probably a lesser favorite of mine of all of these movies the first time I saw it. But rewatching it, I'm really starting to appreciate it more. Tilda Swinton as the Sorcerer Supreme was fantastic.
Man, what an interesting choice, too. And they caught some flack for that, bringing in a white woman to play the Ancient One, who's supposed to be a Asian man. interesting choice, and I know they were catching shit for it, but she's great. She nailed it. I get why they would choose to go that way. If she came in and laid down an audition like that, it's like, yep, you got the part immediately. So I agree with you that it was a really good choice, but I know that they're still catching shit for that.
I mean, they made it work. They've done that with plenty of things. They've made white characters into people of color, and that's fine. And they explained it. It's not like she was in yellow face.
No, exactly. You know? And I agree with that. Yeah.
She like, did wear yellow the whole movie.
Very true. Good point. I didn't think about that.
And another thing that catches shit in this movie is the sling rings, which were never a part of the comics, and they were adapted specifically for the MCU. And it's an interesting choice. I think, I don't know, they never really came right out and said this, but I'm pretty sure it's to like ground him a bit. You know, once Doctor Strange is reaching, even at the end of this movie, where he's reaching even a fraction of his power, he's fucking OP. He is really strong. So you got to kind of ground him a bit, and attaching his ability to go anywhere in the multiverse to a ring, I think was a pretty smart move for cinematic purposes.
Yeah, that makes sense. You can't. Yeah, I don't know. That makes perfect sense to me. I understand why they did it. I would have made the same choice.
Yeah.
If I was as smart as them, probably. Which I'm not.
I know there's a bunch of Uber nerds that get really upset about it, though. It's like,
well, I don't give a shit. Yeah. Like those dudes find anything to get mad about, so fuck off. Like they'll watch fucking Spider-Man or Iron Man or whatever be rebooted 15 different times throughout the life of their comics with all kinds of different stuff and different bits of lore, but now all of a sudden we do it another time, but it's on film, and now they're gonna fucking throw a big fit about it.
Yeah.
I don't really have the most extensive comic collection, and I've got 3 or 4 different universes of Marvel and DC sitting on my shelves right now.
Yeah.
Why easily. Is this such a fucking hard concept to wrap your goddamn head around when it comes to movies?
Yeah. Like, oh, he didn't have rings in the comics. Well, in this one they do. Shut up. Fucking and watch it. Give them your $20 to go see it in the theaters. You're going to do it.
Or don't. Just shut the fuck up about it.
And it does allow for him to have an Achilles heel, so to speak. You know, like there's these are good things for character development and character arcs. So I get it. I don't think it was a bad move at all.
I also like this movie a lot because it's one of the very few actual origin stories in the MCU.
Yeah, I agree. Where we're not just catching up with a character we've already met through some other movie, an Iron Man movie or a Captain America movie, basically.
Well, like Captain America, that was an origin story. Iron Man was an origin story. Doctor Strange, origin story. But almost everything else is you meet them in the MCU after they've already got their powers.
Yeah. And I love me a good origin story, especially one that's not all fluff. You know, Doctor Strange is a great way of doing that, because even when he doesn't have the powers, he's going through some shit, and the visual experience is there. Like it,
right?
It's really good. This is number 2 or 3 for me in this whole in this 6 lineup for us. Like this is a fantastic movie.
The after credit scene is still an interesting hanging. One to me, because it's still hanging. Yeah, it's been 5 years now and it's still hanging.
We got Multiverse of Madness coming up. He should be going up against Nightmare for that. Let's see. We'll see if we get a little bit of resolution from there.
That Mordo storyline, yeah.
Yeah, and I love Mordo. I think that could really develop.
So we'll see what happens with that. All right, let's move on. Our next movie is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, go for it, David.
Man has daddy issues with the planet. That's my synopsis.
I feel like you intentionally try to sabotage me at every move.
Yeah.
Basically, that is right. We find out who Peter Quill's dad is, and turns out he's a planet god. And they have a real bad relationship, huh?
the whole movie has this these very deep themes of family. You know, you've got Gamora fighting with Nebula. You've got Rocket fighting with Quill. You know, there's
everybody
tension. Yeah, there's tension in the crew. There's tension in the with Taserface and the Ravagers. There with Yondu. There's tension in these groups, in these
family dynamics. Yeah,
all around. And you know, the chief one being the one between Peter Quill and his planet father, played by a gorgeous looking Kurt Russell. How do you age that well, Kurt Russell?
Man, when they have him back in the fucking 80s feathered out like that, he was, they had him looking good.
Roadhouse. That was Roadhouse Kurt Russell. That was Patrick Swayze. Never mind. I'll edit that out.
You suck.
I know. Whatever. Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, that's good.
Does that feel better? The Thing? You want me to keep going? I'll keep going. Anyway, I don't know. This is worse, in my opinion, than the first Guardians movie.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do not like this one nearly as much. It still has the laughs. It has the gags. Some of them are a little bit more forced. Great soundtrack, again. You know, Baby Groot might have been just the best part of this movie, though.
At the beginning where he waves at Gamora, where they're fighting the interdimensional beast.
That was like the best laugh.
Get out of here, you're going to get hurt. And he just waves at her and she's like, hi.
Hi.
Oh, man. I love that so much.
Yeah, there's some good cheesy laughs. The characters develop a bit. Yondu, the connection with Yondu is really, really great.
The end scene with the Ravager funeral is a tearjerker.
It is. It's really good. But overall, for sure.
That's my issue with it.
It's just kind of a mediocre movie overall, but it's got some really, really great standout parts.
That's the thing, right? Like, my issue with it is the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, the acting's fantastic. The writing is clever and hilarious. The individual characters have great moments. The character progression, the character development is wonderful, but the plot just loses me.
Yeah, you end up not really caring about, and I didn't really care.
I don't care about Ego and Peter's dad situation.
Yeah.
It felt like, okay, here was the thing. The first time I saw it, I like sat the whole movie being like, okay, well, when are we going to get to the actual plot of the movie? Like, this is obviously just like a sidetrack, but no, that was the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing just felt like an offshoot. It was weird because it is a good movie. But it's middling at best when it comes to this round. This phase is just so full of greats. This one's slacking.
Yeah, fair enough. We are gonna get like another after credit scene. Adam Warlock is introduced, and
man,
who did they cast? They just announced who they cast.
Is that what that? What's that, that kid's Will name?
Kid with the weird face.
With the Millers.
Yeah.
Will Poulter is that?
Name? Will Poulter. Thank you. Is going to be playing Adam Warlock.
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it.
He seems excited about it, so that's cool.
Yeah, not a bad movie by any stretch, just a weak showing overall for this late in the game in the MCU.
Definitely.
All right, let's move on. Spider-Man Homecoming is next. This is unfortunately the only, one of two movies in this entire phase that you can't stream on Disney+, or anywhere at the moment, I think.
Yep.
Which is kind of sad, but you know, watch it anyway. Pay the $4 to rent it on Amazon or pick up the Blu-ray or wherever you got to watch it. This is our first full Tom Holland, Peter Parker, Spider-Man movie. He's already got his powers as of now. It takes place after Civil War. And it's just Peter Parker living in high school, trying to figure out how to be a fledgling superhero while doing well in school and trying to understand that just because he has these powers doesn't mean he's ready to be a superhero yet. Our main villain is Adrian Toomes, the Vulture. I liked how they set him up in this one, that his entire mythos is that he has been stealing these otherworldly artifacts this collateral damage from the Avengers fights and stuff, basically, and selling, turning them into weapons and selling them on the black market.
Yeah, I really, I thought that was a clever tie-in to a specific MCU story. You know, he's an illegal scrapper of alien goods and weapons, and that's badass.
And I think that it plays into the Adrian Toomes character well from the comic books. He's this sort of like business magnate, I remember from like watching the show back in the day. And
yeah,
the character translated well. He comes across a little bit more blue collar, a little bit more down to earth, and they changed up his powers a little bit too. So
yeah,
made him a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a very good first real villain for Spider-Man to deal with on his own.
And Michael Keaton is stellar,
right?
He was great.
So and, fucking good.
You know,
did anybody see the Morbius trailer?
Yes.
I haven't watched it yet, no.
That Michael Keaton is coming back playing Tombs in Morbius?
Oh, that's great.
You know
that's...
what? And I kind of hope that that's how they give him his, like, youth-stealing powers. Because that's what the Vulture's powers were, I remember, from the show, is he would, like, latch onto you and steal your youth. So I'm kind of hoping that's how they develop cool. that a little bit.
He was the Sanderson sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I got to sidetrack a little bit and urge the powers that be that are always listening to us to cast an aging Michael Keaton as old Bruce Wayne mentoring Terry McGinnis in a live action Batman Beyond. Get it done.
I'm in for
needs
that.
To be done. It needs to be done.
Yeah, I'm in for that too. As for Spider-Man, this is I don't know. Tom Holland is my favorite Spider-Man now. Like I love this version of Spider-Man. He's a great Peter Parker and a great Spider-Man. That's where we got kind of lost with the other two. Tobey Maguire was a fantastic Peter Parker and a mediocre Spider-Man. And what was his name? Andrew Garfield was like the opposite of that. He was a mediocre Peter, and he was a really good Spider-Man. He had the banter down and everything like that. Tom Holland, I feel like, is a perfect blend. He's got the awkward weirdness of Peter Parker. Just he doesn't know his way. And then once he puts on the suit, he's got that arrogance and cockiness, and he plays it really well. And I love it.
Agreed completely. It's just a good movie overall. I liked the inclusion of Tony Stark, of Happy Hogan, hell, of Captain America.
Yeah.
It was a fun tie-in. Kind of an astonishing feat that they were able to compromise with Sony and get it done in the first place.
Yeah, I'm really happy they were able to agree upon doing this, because you can't have a Marvel universe without Spider-Man.
For sure. All right, anything else about Spider-Man?
Nope.
We covered it. We covered it all. All right, let's move on to, got to be somebody's favorite in this series of six, Thor Ragnarok. Keith,
tell me
all about it.
This is the best of the bunch for me. We got Thor coming back after a terrible showing in Dark World. I don't know if you guys remember when you went to see this in theaters. I remember when I did, and I was not really expecting much. Even though they gave Taika Waititi the helm, I knew he was going to take it a little different direction. But from the very opening scene, this movie was so different than what any other Thor gave us. And that was a fucking badass with a mouth that just knew he was going to win every fucking fight. And a bigger heart than even he knows. You know, we get to see Thor develop. We get to see him kind of team up with his brother in a way that they've been trying to for a very long time. And meet their estranged sister, who is going to take over the entire realm of Asgard. So it's a great fight, a big fight. This is like, Hela's no fucking joke. You can't just hit her with a hammer, as we find out when they first meet. So it's a really, really tough fight. And Thor is not even up to the challenge. So I love this movie. We bring in Bruce Banner and Hulk and a little bit more like convoluted universal stuff, movement through different realms and whatnot. And they played it so right. I love this movie.
100% agree. It is probably also my favorite. I'm going to have to look at the list before the end, but it just sets the whole tone right at the very beginning of the movie where it's like, you get that record scratch, or, you know, I bet you're wondering how I got in this situation.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so lighthearted. It doesn't take itself seriously like the first two Thor movies did, where it was all steeped in this mythology and absolute seriousness to it. And I don't know. It's just, the plot's great. The characters are great. Jeff Goldblum is great.
Man, the color palette, like, so many good things.
It's so happened. Colorful. Oh, God. Yeah. Thor Dark World had like three colors total.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is the Thor series just like hitting reset on the reset button. Fuck. You know, and like taking
God damn it.
taking the series in a new fresh direction, and it really, really worked. Gladiator Thor looks great. The banter between the two was hilarious. You know, Thor gets his ass kicked a couple of times and does his own ass kicking. This is really the best entry so far in the Thor series.
We get the introduction of the Valkyrie and some of their history, and then like one of the most badass characters in the film as well. Like, I don't know, that they introduce great new characters that will have a lasting mark on you. Jeff Goldblum's character is phenomenal. I still think about some of his goofiness to this day. I don't know. I don't know what else there is to say about this movie other than go watch it. If you were a Thor skeptic and you haven't watched this because it was after Dark World, you were like, no, I'm done with Thor, rethink that and go watch Ragnarok, because it is absolutely amazing.
Definitely. I like the setup at the end for Infinity War, where, you know, the civilization of Asgard is fleeing on the ship. And then, you know, was it the end credits or just at the end of the movie? I can't remember, where Thanos' ship just kind of looms in the background. Such a great way, such an ominous way to end such a lighthearted movie.
Yeah. And it's a cliffhanger, but at the same time, it everything was wrapped up. It wasn't a filler movie, you know, it wasn't a setup movie,
right?
It was its own movie that had a massive weight to the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was the complete destruction of Asgard with the continuation of its people, and then, man, they just really throw you for a loop there at the beginning of Infinity War.
Yep.
But we'll get into that. Right on. What else about Ragnarok?
I don't know what else there is to say. I mean, it's the best in the MCU. I think I truly believe that. And there's a lot of great movies, and this is probably at the tip top of my list.
All right, let's move on to the final one of our breakdown today, and that is Black Panther. David, what's Black Panther about?
Black Panther is about some technology getting stolen from Wakanda. T'Challa going to get that technology back, finding an old nemesis, Killmonger, and the introduction of our most thoughtful and provocative villain to date. Does he beat out Ultron? Because Ultron was pretty like waxing philosophical. Who waxes philosophical better?
Killmonger makes more sense.
Yeah, he has an actual real world story.
It's like Killmonger and Zemo are the two to me that I'm like, oh, I kind of see where you're coming from. Yeah,
this is a great movie though. How many awards was it nominated for?
It was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah,
like that's a prestigious nomination. Yeah, it won multiple awards, but it was a superhero movie nominated for Best Picture is no simple feat.
No.
Yeah.
Suck it, Scorsese.
And you know, there was a bit of controversy over that, whether it was like affirmative action.
Those people say that about anything. Or
you guys think that this movie deserved Best Picture?
I think it deserved a nomination.
I don't know what
movie won that year.
Oh, I don't know.
I'll look it up.
I don't even know. I like that it got a nomination as well. But I don't think it should have gotten Best Picture.
I do want to say another great introduction of a sort of Marvel side villain with Claw here.
Yeah, what's his name? Andy Serkis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ulysses Claw.
He's a great character.
Looking him up in the he just looks so goofy. His costume from the old comics, and they made him into this like smuggler mercenary type who's badass. He makes a really great villain.
Yeah, he really does. I liked Claw a lot in Ultron, and then bringing him back was a great move. Obviously, you have to, because that was this continuation of the story from Ultron. Yeah, I don't know. It's just good. Oh, I looked it up. Here we go. The actual Best Picture winner that year was Green Book, which was not as good as Black Panther, especially in dealings with race. Black Klansman was another one that was nominated that also could have was a better picture about race.
Yeah, so, Green Book was the weak one. Why did this win?
Because it's Oscar bait.
Yeah,
because the old white people in the Academy feel safe voting for Green Book rather than Black Klansman or Black Panther.
Yeah, it was fully bait.
It's a movie about race made for white people.
Yeah.
Black Panther grows on me every time I watch it. I felt like the first time I watched it, I was not that impressed, maybe because of the hype surrounding it. And it was just like, man, I just watched Ragnarok and you're telling me that this is the best movie to ever come out. But, you know, after watching it more and also just realizing what this meant to a lot of people of color,
yeah.
What this character, not just this movie or that it's a black superhero. That's not really it. He's a king. He's King T'Challa of the most advanced society on the planet. Like, this was really flipping like what a black superhero is on its head. It's never somebody at the tip top of their game. You know what I mean? King T'Challa is something else. And Chadwick Boseman was such an incredible choice. And it really is painful going back and watching some of this, knowing that we aren't going to get another Black Panther out of him.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask, where do you guys see it going? Because there is going to be a Black Panther too.
Yeah.
Apparently Ryan Coogler, the director, is in some phase of production of a Wakanda TV series.
Yeah. And didn't somebody, what's her name? The sister Cherie. Is that what?
Cherie. Yeah.
They're filming something and I think she just got hurt and they had to stop filming for that.
Uh-oh.
So I also heard that she was not wanting to get vaccinated or wear a mask on set. So that's
lots of issues.
Yeah. So, but I don't know where that's going to go. I think they can do some really good stuff. It just really sucks that we can't give Chadwick a better send off. You know,
I bet they're really hating that they killed off Killmonger.
Yeah, we've got multiversal stuff happening. Maybe they'll just like, oh, bloop, he's back.
Killmonger is from another dimension, and he's good now.
Yeah.
Last thing I had was I really liked Everett Ross, the character of Everett Ross coming back, Martin Freeman playing him. He was in Civil War as the Freeman. CIA analyst or agent.
They had to replace who was the first S.H.I.E.L.D. agent guy? I can't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Coulson.
Yeah. Coulson.
Yeah.
He went off.
You put Martin Freeman in a movie and I'm there. I'm about it. I fucking love that man. He is amazing.
Yeah, agreed. 100%. Does anybody remember the after credit scenes of Black Panther? Because I can't recall them off the top of my head.
I can't either, honestly.
Well, I'm sure they were good. Oh, I know one of them was... Okay, I remember one of them. One of the two was the showing that Bucky was out of cryo sleep.
Yeah.
And trying to live like a quiet hermit life. And them showing up and being like, you may need this super sweet metal arm again.
And he looks all thoughtful staring at it.
What am I going to do?
Yeah, the first
tortured
one was,
by my demons.
Was T'Challa revealing that he was ready to come out with the truth about Wakanda and,
right.
and the status of their country.
That's right. Yeah, awesome.
Kind of bleh after scenes, but...
Yeah, easily could have just been in the movie.
Yeah. That being said, this was the last movie before everything changed with Infinity War.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're going next week. So let's talk about these six. Just do a final wrap up. Favorite of the six, Keith?
Favorite is obviously Ragnarok. I couldn't have said that enough.
Fair enough. David?
You know, after watching not all of these again, but a handful of them, I'm going to have to say Doctor Strange.
Interesting.
I want to get my own kind of altered and watch it again.
Fair enough. I really loved Spider-Man Homecoming. Going through the rewatch, that one just, it had everything for me. It hit all the right notes. Maybe I'm a little biased because I'm replaying the Spider-Man game, but I just really, really loved it.
Yeah, good call.
Ragnarok's up there for me as well. Civil War is still up there. I still think Guardians 2 was the weakest.
Yeah. So yeah, and I've got Doctor Strange and Homecoming coming in for like almost a tied second. It was really hard for me to do a second and third for them. Because I've loved both those movies. Man, Spider-Man movies are just so fucking good. But Doctor Strange, I love the way they brought him into the MCU. And yeah, the weakest for me is Civil War. Like this watch through for me, I had to say it didn't grab me. Everything that was happening, I was just like, that's dumb. That was a dumb decision. Being dumb. Just talk to each other. Just don't do that and do something else. And that would be better.
It's the Cobra Kai of the MCU.
Yeah.
Can't we all just get along?
David, what was your weakest?
I was going to say Civil War as well. I just, I think it's not a bad movie. Again, we keep saying it, but in relation to everything else in this section of the phase that we went over, it's the weakest showing.
I will say that Guardians 2 was down there for me as well. It was definitely not one of the strong ones out of this phase. The first one was just so fucking good that it just overshadows this one completely.
I kind of like that we're all picking different movies for best and worst, mostly. that says a lot about the strength of these movies overall. Like,
yeah, I think
there really isn't a bad movie among these six.
No, this is definitely their stride. Like, especially the first half of this this whole set. Like, second half is also great. There's some big crescendos and whatnot, but this first half just has fucking amazing movies.
Agreed. Very much so. Right on. All right. Well, I think that wraps us up. We're getting late into the episode here, so. Let's finish it up next week. I think we're going to finish off the MCU. We'll come up with some other franchise breakdowns after that. We'll figure out where to go from here. But join us next week. We're going to wrap up phase 3 of the MCU. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter. Join our Discord. Talk to us about your favorite MCU movies. I want to know. We have a website. It's 3guys1up.com. On there, you can find a list of all our previous weekend watch picks. If you're looking for something else, you're not a big MCU fan. Also, you can find a link to our Patreon where you can subscribe, become a patron, and help us keep the lights on. With that, we're going to wrap up, and we will see you all next week for the final MCU franchise breakdown. Good night.